You see, I'm a man of taste and decency. Not one of the forlorn herds that roam this planet, lowing and baying in what passes as a language. Language is merely a tool to express ideas, and I think just a cursory glance at the world proves we're not speaking a language. Okay.
Chicka chicka woo woo!
You're it. You're it. You're at Quincy's. Any Quincy's. You're at Quincy's. No, any Quincy's. No Starcy's.
You can't do that.
Can't do. Cannot.
Stamped it.
Can't do. Double stamped it. No erases.
Cannot.
Triple stamped it. No erases. Touch blue. Make it true.
You can't triple stamp a double stamp. You can't triple stamp a double stamp, Lloyd. You can't triple stamp a double stamp. Lloyd. You
guys. Enough.
Hey. Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio or something?
Radio? Who needs a radio? Ready, Harry? Mock!
Yeah!
Ing!
Yeah!
Bird!
Yeah!
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 Mockingbird! Don't everybody have you heard?
Have you heard?
She's gonna buy me a mockingbird. And if that mockingbird don't sing, she's gonna buy me a diamond ring.
Diamond ring.
And if that diamond ring don't shine.
Hey, Lloyd, look, there's some people who want to ride too.
Pick them up!
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We're gonna stay here all night if we have to, so let's get started.
Can I go when this starts to suck?
The measure of a truly great man is not only his achievement, but his modesty. Some time ago, one of the foremost American mathematicians, President Callahan of Duquesne University in Pittsburgh, related how he had ventured to criticize some minor aspect of Professor Albert Einstein's epical theory of relativity. Dr. Einstein promptly acknowledged the criticism and welcomed it. America feels honored in providing a haven for a European scientist whose name will live long after the fury of political storms that exiled him from his native land is forgotten. It is our privilege to present the Nobel Prize winner in science for 1921, Professor Albert Einstein of Princeton, New Jersey.
Civilized man has a feeling of superiority toward primitive man. He considers himself, so to speak, as a higher being. Does he not live in an ingeniously constructed house instead of a clay hut? Does he not travel by railroad, by automobile, and by steamship? Also, he reads newspapers, has a rather complicated language, and uses the telephone and the radio. In short, he is proud of employing his finer tools. There is, however, one advantage which primitive man has. He is acquainted with the primitive tools of which he is using. He can make his own bow and arrow, in fact, even his own canoe. How many of the civilized people have to any extent a clear idea about the nature and the origin of the things, the use or consumption of which he feels so much to be a matter of course? Just ask 100 people of the street what really happens in a telephone apparatus or in a radio receiver and how the electric current is produced which lights their homes at night. Then you will see that most of them live like strangers in the world of the things entrusted to them. Does not such a man live like a worthless son of the inherited money, in the acquisition of which he has no part? To that you will reply, this does not prove anything. It is enough if each one knows his own calling and thus repays in some way to society for which he receives from it. It is just this specialization, you will say, which makes civilization possible. This I grant you, to be sure. Nevertheless, the matter has its questionable side. Society can only then bloom and thrive when it is esteemed by the individual composing it, when the individual can feel happy as a member of it, when he feels that he is not treated as a mere tool which works all his life only under coercion. If he has no real inner share in the striving of the group, then he readily becomes an enemy of society. Precisely this specialization causes him to consider his own contribution to the work as meaningless if he cannot join in experiencing the creative striving of the community. Each one has a right to share in the knowledge and understanding which society provides. And it is to the great advantage of all. If this interest in the moral and spiritual possessions of the society is awakened and kept alive. With this, I have already said why I consider the creation and furthering of an institution like this museum to be beneficial and important. Here will to be placed the creative deeds of investigator and inventor before the eyes of each one in whom the spark of curiosity has not been completely extinguished in the grayness of the daily struggle of life. He also obtains an insight based on immediate observation of facts into the governing of the eternal connection of nature, on which all technical production is based. Such an institution deserves zealous furthering and the grateful interest of all.
Okay, no peeking.
Here we go. Keep your eyes closed.
Okay, they're closed.
All right. Keep going. Almost there.
Be careful.
There.
How much further?
We're almost there.
Right about...
Hey! Here we are. Happy Earth Day, dude.
Guys, how'd you know?
We know you love Earth.
That's my favorite day of the year.
This is the day.
It's your favorite planet, man.
I just love coming up to high spots and looking at it.
I know. So we planned out the day. We're going to enjoy the Earth, and then we're going to go get some butter burgers.
Oh, yep. I get burgers and Earth?
Burgers and butter.
Snap. Today really is my day, right, guys?
I know.
Wow. Dude,
look, man, it just goes on and on on forever.
That could be because the Earth is flat. I don't see any curvature. Yeah, that horizon looks very, very flat to me.
Paying separately though for the burgers.
Yeah, definitely.
Paying separately for the
burgers. You can come with us.
I only have my card.
I mean, it's definitely not curving down.
Do you guys know this guy?
I don't know where it came from.
If anything, the horizon is rising to meet our eye line.
They call it the horizon.
Yeah, they sure do.
But
there's also a little something called gravity.
Whoa. Gravity is a theory. It's just a theory.
No, it's a movie. Clooney's in it. It's got to be real. You know that.
If light things can rise up and heavy things can fall down, it might just be simply a natural byproduct of weight and density.
If Neil deGrasse Tyson was here, he would just like mushroom stamp the hell out of you.
Listen, Neil deGrasse Tyson says that the world is pear shaped.
No, Neil deGrasse Tyson is pear shaped.
Does this look pear-shaped to you?
That looks
pretty round to me. In fact, that might even be a perfect circle. But to be fair, this photo is photoshopped. In fact, NASA even admits that every image you see of the Earth is actually
Photoshop.
Are you talking Photoshop NASA,
Did you just say NASA is wrong?
Look, all I'm saying is that if they can convince you that the world that you're living on is not actually what it is, then they can pretty much convince you of anything.
You know what I know? I know that hamburgers are real, and I know that we're going to go get one.
I know. Okay, but I got to respond to myself and say that there's also a good chance that this whole Flat Earth revival is just one big massive psyop. It's obviously a distraction, and it's dividing the community at a time when we need to be more united than ever, because the system is going into lockdown mode, you know? 1984 is upon us. There's water depletion, there's deforestation, there's mandatory vaccinations, every move is being monitored, there's never-ending war. The psychopaths are posing as leaders, and we're down here debating on whether or not the Earth is flat.
Yeah, but no one can prove it.
Ah! On the contrary, my friend. I intend to put an end to this debate once and for all.
He flew right up there in a jetpack.
I didn't see that coming.
That thing was fast.
That was pretty cool. It actually kind of looks like chemtrails behind him.
What are chemtrails?
Remember chemtrails?
No.
That big craze from 2012.
Are they still around?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Who cares?
Yeah. So, hey, did you know McDonald's has a new custom burger?
Yeah.
It's called the Build-A-Burger.
Really?
Yeah.
Put whatever you want on it?
Oh, yeah. Whatever
Sounds
you
good
want.
To me.
Yeah, it's
Can we still get a Butter Burger from Burger King?
Oh, dude, we're going to get a Butter Burger, and then we're going to get a Build-A-Burger. Is he telling the truth or is he telling a lie? He's the conspiracy guy.
So it's not actually a sphere. It's oblate. And officially it's an oblate spheroid. That's what we call it. But not only that, it's slightly wider below the equator than above the equator.
A little chubbier.
A little chubbier.
Yeah.
Chubby's a good way. It's like pear-shaped.
Let's begin. Assalamu alaikum, people of goodwill. I offer you the greeting of thought, manifest the skill to finally reveal the open end chapter, as real as the flesh that you're embodied in. Till the skull cavity your mind is rotten, and I'll be riding in. And it might have been a slight rotation warp to curve the course. Of course, I'm cordial when I report. I won't distort, I don't contort, connect, conduct, collect, console, or conceal. In full control of the role of the will. My eyes are my appliance to decipher the science, omitting defiance with the height. Tech mic check. The buttons that flashed are pushed for absolute destruction. Your structure is lifted from the ground. The foundation mound is broke, so you float around. I'm embedded in what is known as beat. Let it be shown every enzyme is complete. In time, you'll see the pace of the pulse pump. Rapidly, heart rate happily marched. I happen to be the dark man who holds the charts. I arch my horizontal line to make a rainbow.
It's a double rainbow all the way.
But it ain't the same though. Yo, the tried and true pros I chase and fools go. Sliding through holes like small rodents. It's obviously evident my embellishment peaks at 292 IQ. Cause Big Ace is the spinner, inner, sinner, inventor. And I plan to be a winner, meaning I'll be in the inner, outer, ovaries, overlord, overboard, overseas, here and overseas. More than the eye can. I scan limited primitive, sentimentalist, escapist. The way I shape this landscape automatically makes this vivid. I give it a ribbon, hold it, stand at the pivot. I love it, learn and live it, then give you my exhibit. Not inhibit it, not even a little bit. When I'm inclined, my attempts to redefine your hip-hop guidelines. And you can play the sideline, ride rhymes in your spare time. My attempts to redefine your hip-hop guideline. You can play the sideline, ride rhymes in your spare time. Cause I'd rather stimulate your mind than emulate your purpose. And we have only touched on the surface of the serpent. Consider me part of the dust and the dust. I must collect the samples from the rust. Penetrate the crust and trust no living. Driven by the sonic language passion, your ashes spark the flashes of the neon from beyond. What kind of planet could I be on? I don't know, but I'ma be on for eons and eons. While many think that they can never play out, get trapped in a time frame and never find a way out. I stay off the dramatization and I balance, always seeking the challenge to show the world the incredible talents. I cut the corners, smooth out the surfaces. Worthlessness is just half of the problem. I read the grid, kid. I did every column. I know the animal kingdom and the phylum wild style. Until they get to hit the target, I'll mark it on the bullseye. I flies on the buffalo wing in the sky. My architect technique sparks the dark streets of your resting ground. I suggest that you warn your town. I inhabit the oxygen more off the memory. You will never forget to remember the lone Wolverine marine.
psychologist machine with the verbal internal mind fertile, foot over hurdle, tight like girdle, when my word will be the last. I incubate every other millennium. I fast and I hibernate to pass any of them. I am potent, untraceable. No color, no odor, no taste, no replaceable part. No heart, no head, just a carcass. The darkest days come right before the light. I watch my watch and stand right before the mic. By the powers vested in me, I digested MC's food for thought. Caught onto the end of the rope and swung, then stood stiff as if I was on a cliff. Not beneath sticks, my feet are made of bricks. When I walk, my footprints indent cement. I am not practical, nor am I unusual, nor am I oblivious to hideous crimes. Every city is captured and trapped in my mind, given the spinal tap as the final rap climbs. My attempts to redefine your hip-hop guidelines. You can play the sideline, ride rhymes in your spare time. My attempts to redefine your hip-hop guidelines. You can play the sideline, ride rhymes in your spare time. Cause I have become the night owl on the prowl, master of the free pen pal style. Cause I'm omnipotent. I'm some government experiment that is out of control. I'm from some big black hole. I score up, select, and wreck every tangle. I flare up and you can try any angle, even Bermuda, but I bury the barracuda. Then I'm octagon in the wind with the pollen.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
The world has a double. The world is not entirely or completely what it seems to be. Culture, and by culture I mean any culture, anywhere, anytime, gives you the message that everything is humdrum. Everything is normal. In other words, culture denies experience. You know, we all have had prophetic dreams, intimations, unlikely strings of coincidences, all of these sort of things. These are experiences which cultures deny. Cultures put in place, I'm sure you've heard this word, a paradigm. And then what fits within the cultural paradigm is accentuated, stressed, and what doesn't fit inside the cultural paradigm is denied, marginalized, argued against. And we live at the end of a thousand-year binge on the philosophical position known as materialism. Reason and science and the practice of unbridled capitalism have not delivered us into an angelic realm. Quite the contrary, they've delivered 3% of us into an angelic realm, completely overshadowed by guilt about what's happening to the other 97% of us who are eating it. It's not a pretty picture, modern civilization. Most people in the world today are quite miserable, actually. They have very little hope. Their religions, their traditional value systems are being eroded by Dallas and Hawaii 5-0, which are on the village television every night. lifespans are being shortened by pesticides, chemicals, all kinds of things in the environment, and there's very little political light on the horizon. Boundary dissolution is the most threatening activity that can go on in a society. Government institutions become very nervous when people begin to talk to each other. The whole name of the Western game is to create boundaries and maintain them. The church and the state, the poor and the wealthy, the black and the white, the male and the female, the young and the old, the gay and the straight, the living and the dead, the foreign and the familiar, all of these categorical divisions allow a kind of thinking that is completely cockamamie. After all, reality is in fact a seamless, unspeakable something. And we understand that to perceive it separately is a necessary adjunct to the act of understanding, but it is not the end of the program of understanding. The particulate data has to be recombined in a paradigm, a seamless overview of what is happening. So there's a lot of tension in society between the great exploring soul and the assembly line citizen. The citizen is defined by obligation and by the boundaries that define, you know, the next citizen, either because it's neighbor or worker or employer or something like that. And the grand exploring soul is marginalized as an eccentric, or if necessary, more seriously marginalized as mad in some way. I mean, madness basically, up until the level of physical violence, means you are behaving in a way which makes me feel uncomfortable. Therefore, there's something wrong with you. I think of history as a kind of mass psychedelic experience. And the drug is technology. And as technology gets more and more perfected as a mirror of the human mind, the cultural experience becomes more and more hallucinatory. And for at least the past couple of hundred years, boundary dissolution has been underway at every level of Western civilization. I mean, you could push it further back. The Magna Carta, the fact that princes and lords of the realm would actually attempt to force the king's signature on a document defining their privileges. They are, after all, ordinary human beings. The king is the divine appointed regent of God in heaven. So this was a severe boundary dissolution within the context of the age in which it was taking place. They were actually saying, you, as Christ's representative on earth, should cede some of this omnipotence to us, mere mortals suspended in the political process. Well, that leads then to broader demands for human rights, for the idea that a permanent and large segment of society kept in permanent poverty is unacceptable. We got rid of debtors' prisons and things like this. As the collectivity of our humanness becomes an intellectual legacy for all of us, there is a dissolving of boundaries of race, class, status, language, so forth and so on. And the whole of the 20th century has seen a massive acceleration of this. The breakdown of the Soviet Union was, in fact, simply, it was even so described, the lifting of the Iron Curtain, meaning a membrane has suddenly disappeared. And more of these membranes are disappearing.
Sleep safe. That's chapter one. Would you like to have chapter two? You better, son of a bitch. I know the way.
Senator, during the primaries, you and Mr. Russell disagreed on integration.
Now, we didn't disagree over the moral issue involved. I personally find any kind of discrimination wrong. But I don't think it's up to the federal government to decide something that is a local matter. I may not like what they do in Mississippi, but I will fight for their right to run their state the way they want to. At the moment, you have all the Southern delegates. Look, I think we're all concerned, North and South, with the communist agitation that's going on. I think the colored people are often used by the commies, who are everywhere, all around us, high and low. And on tax reform, I favor tax reform. I think that by cutting down government spending, we can eventually eliminate the income tax entirely. On Cuba, we got to get tough. That's all those people really appreciate. And we got to get us more military hardware. Because when it comes to defense, we're being sold down the river by the so-called liberals.
So you feel we can increase military spending while eliminating the income tax?
And I think it's a pretty swell thing that in a country like this, somebody like me can be here today able to speak for the real people of this country. Where else but in America could somebody from a poor family be running for the greatest job in the world? May the best man win.
Once more, Senator.
May the best man win.
Triggered, one could argue, by what they heard at the event, and they punched the guy. What do you make of that?
You know, I think
how
that it's very...
You can't control 5,000 or 10,000 people.
You can't control them, but it's very interesting that no one's covering the protesters at Hillary's rallies or at Kasich rallies
well,
or Cruz
rallies. Have any of them
been
slugged?
Absolutely. Have you seen the coverage? Black Lives Matter is everywhere, and I believe that this gentleman says he's a part of Black Lives Matter. These Black Lives Matter protesters are prepared for any kind of environment that they go into.
You've got a tape
to make
you can show
point.
Us, and then just point us to it. I'd love to find if somebody getting slugged, a sucker punch in the face.
I think that there was some very hostile moments at the AU Center in Atlanta.
Yeah.
When Hillary Clinton was there speaking, there was a large group of Black Lives Matter protesters who were jostled around, pushed around by security, who
but
were
did
handled.
Any of the, did any of the
and
Hillary
I don't think that was
decked,
covered. But
did
Donald,
any of the Hillary people
no, but
do that
you know what, Chris?
Thing?
Donald can't be responsible for
well,
every
well,
single person that comes
to
his rally. But we also have to cover the fact that this is not the only candidate
okay,
that has protesters
okay.
at their rally.
It's not about
out
protesters,
fairness.
It's what's being done to protesters.
What do you mean what's being done to protesters? This is a country that you have the right to assemble, you have the right to free speech, you also have the,
right,
have
the
right
to
go
to
into
slug a guy
you
for
have a
protesting?
Right to go into listen, you go you have a right to go into a closed private event and you get what's coming to you. I do not
what's
condone violence, but if you go into an environment where you're interrupting 13, 14 times, do you expect a hug or kumbaya? Come
well,
on,
what
Chris.
Do you think is coming
these,
to these people?
Listen, these protesters know exactly what they're getting at this point. They've seen how protesters are not given a pass and allowed to take over these events. If you go to a Donald Trump rally, here's a newsflash.
You judge this.
No, yeah. Let's go.
Well, so the tapes are great. Let's go to the tapes.
We're not allowed to punch back anymore. I love the old days. You know what they used to do to guys like that when they were in a place like this? They'd be carried out on a stretcher, folks. I'd like to punch him in the face, I'll tell you.
Everybody's telling me that the Trump rallies are so violent now. I guess. Are they talking about the 78-year-old guy who clocked the kid who was giving him the finger up there in the Bob Uecker seats? I guess it's the end of the world as we know it. You know, I didn't like it, but then again, I didn't like that knockout game that people were playing a couple years ago. Remember when they were going up to homeless
yeah.
people and old people and sucking them in the face? Now, if you said to me, what's more egregious, this guy here or the knockout game? I'm just telling you the truth. I know I'm going to get condemned for this. I found the knockout game more pre-apocalyptic because people were just minding their own business and people would come up and sucker them in the face. I can tell you throughout history, if you're walking through a thing and you're giving the finger to people who are there participating in something, guess what? I grew up in Pittsburgh. There's a chance you're going to get
there's
clocked.
A chance. Levitano was a chance. And but we're not justifying it. And a presidential.
How far out of my way did I go to say that?
That's right.
Of course, we're
politically
not
correct here. We're not justifying any violence ever under any circumstances unless I do it.
Can I just ask a question?
Sure.
What is Fox News? It's just a parade of propaganda, isn't it? It's just a festival of ignorance.
We have too many kids in our country right now.
No more tax breaks for billionaires.
Amen to that.
Excuse me, I'm talking.
Let him sprun.
Let me tell my story, you tell yours.
I will.
Let justice roll on like a river. Righteousness like a never-failing stream. The worship of the ancient golden calf has returned. If we take on powerful people, we can feel the burn. Feel the burn, feel the burn, we can feel the burn.
There should be no bank too big to fail, and no individual too powerful to jail. We agree on that.
All right.
We agree on that.
All right.
Well, it's easy to say, I'm gonna do this and do that, but I have doubts when people receive huge amounts of money.
I never changed a view because of any donation.
Let justice roll on like a river.
Ripple down, ripple, ripple, ripple down.
Righteousness like a huge, huge dream.
Absolutely.
The worship of the ancient golden calf has returned. If we stand with working people, we can feel the burn. Feel the burn, feel the burn, we can feel the burn.
If there's one thing I specialize in, it's knowing what the people want. And I know you guys want to hear about the men and women who are running for president of the United States. Because CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News refuse to talk about it. They won't mention these very important public servants. I mean, who knows what's going on with Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and Ted Cruz? Because no one will mention it. So we created a montage of everything that happened in the past few weeks in order to catch you up to speed. This is all inclusive. This is everything important that happened.
It's Rubio!
He doesn't sweat because his pores are clogged from the spray tan that he uses. Donald is not going to make America great. He's going to make America orange.
Flooded in light, in the fine print that tell me what's wrong and what's right, and it comes in black and it comes in white, and I'm frightened by those who don't see it, where nothing is owed, deserved, or expected. And your life doesn't change by the man that's elected. If you're loved by someone, you're never rejected. Decide what to be and go be it. There was a dream. And one day I could see it. body for it. And there was a kid with a head full of doubt. So I'll scream till I die. Or the last of those bad thoughts will finally be out. There's a darkness upon you that's flooded in light. In the fine print they tell you what's wrong and what's right. And it flies by day and it flies by night. And I'm frightened by those who don't see. There was a dream that one day I could see it. Like a bird in a cage, I broke in and demanded that somebody breathe. And there was a kid with a head full of doubt. So I'll scream till I die. The last of those bad thoughts will finally be out.
Read the Bible. It's hiding in plain view, folks. It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing. I refuse to fight with everybody. All the stupid racist white people, the stupid racist black people, all the stupid racist Mexicans, all of you. I can't stand you. You're idiots. We're under attack. Everybody's under attack. The elite hate Trump. Let me tell you, if he is a psyop, he's the most sophisticated one I ever saw. And even if he is, he's a revelation of the awakening, and they're having to pull this trick to try to divert us. Doesn't matter. It's part of the awakening. Humanity has got to get off world. We need access to the life extension technologies. Talk about discrimination. Forget skin color. I want the advanced life extension. I want to go to space. I want to see interdimensional travel. I want what God promised us.
God's got the girth. Amen. God's got the girth. Amen. Amen.
And I won't sit here and watch Satan steal it.
Now the devil's got the length. The devil's got the length. The devil's got the length.
That's the fight. That's the key. That's everything.
Ha ha!
In George Orwell's novel 1984, he describes the government arresting and torturing people for thought crimes. Well, the FBI apparently thought that was an instruction manual. They released new guidelines that instruct high schools across the country to report students who criticize government policies or Western corruption as potential future terrorists. Criticize government policies? Isn't that all of us? I mean, everybody from Malala to Bernie Sanders to Toby Keith criticizes government policies. All high school students do is criticize. When you're 16, that's your job. Like, I'm pretty sure the most popular t-shirt in my high school was everything. These new guidelines are basically meant to, I'm surprised we found that photo of me, basically meant to justify an even larger surveillance apparatus. And we already live in the biggest one ever conceived. I mean, if thoughts are illegal, then, hold on a second. I should definitely be arrested for what just happened, okay? Oh my God, that was horrible. What I just saw made a Quentin Tarantino shootout look like Spin the Bottle. Look, the government wants this to have a chilling effect on activism, on protest, on questioning authority. Boston had one of the largest student walkouts in recent history this week. Why? In order to criticize the state government for cutting school funding. So I guess thousands of Boston students just declared their allegiance to ISIS. Or maybe the FBI, the NSA, CIA, military intelligence have been radicalized and are now preying on our children. If we allow this, we will soon be living in a dystopian paradise.
No! Stop it already!
Perhaps language has always been a gift from the other. We don't, it's a little hard to picture how the kind of language I'm using right now ever got started. I mean, notice that language is a behavior. It's a behavior, that's all it is. It's something, it's a complex activity having to do with small mouth noises and the neurological processing of same. We must have been essentially as we are before language. It's like breakdancing or something like that. You're fully set up to do it, and people have been for millennia, but until somebody actually does it, it only exists as a formal possibility in the organism. And I wonder how many of these things there are. I mean, breakdancing is an interesting example, albeit somewhat trivial, but it shows that after 5, 6, 7,000 years of civilization, you can come up with a behavior that nobody has ever seen before. I've spent a lot of time thinking about language and how, what a limited tool it is, and yet how our whole world is held together by nothing more than small mouth noises. And it's incredible. The entirety of global civilization is held together by small mouth noises and symbolic notations of same, which have an even more rarefied level of abstraction. Our separateness, our notion of self and world, of self and species, all rest on the carrying capacity of these small mouth noises. One of the things that has interested me, some of you have heard me talk about this, is, you know, I think good psychedelic trips inspire a lot of homework, which usually means reading in curious areas. And I discovered that octopi, cephalopods, which in case you're not up on your evolutionary biology, these are mollusca. They're not even vertebrates. They're related to escargot and banana slugs. I mean, you can hardly imagine a form of life more alien to ourselves. I mean, you know, we broke off from the other primates 3 million years ago, but the invertebrates and the vertebrates separated from each other about 700 million years ago. Well, an interesting thing going on with octopi. Most people have heard that they can change color. And most people, I think, assume this means that, like certain lizards and certain butterflies, they camouflage themselves against their background. That's not what's going on. Color and texture for octopi are the medium of language. It's, you could almost say that an octopus is a naked mind, because as the octopus goes through certain internal changes, hunger, sexual need, whatever, color changes accompany these shifts of internal state and appear on the surface of the octopus. It is almost as though it wears its language like an overcoat. It is clothed in its own meaning. Well, obviously, in that kind of situation, you have always been suspended in an ambiance of language, unlike ourselves, where apparently language was invented one bright summer day, or series of bright summer days. And if you have a language such as we have, small mouth noises with culturally assigned meaning, in other words, if I say, where can I get a taxi? If I don't say this to a person who speaks English, it means nothing to a Ukrainian or a Chinese. Octopi don't have this problem. There are not culturally localized languages. There's only a language of the body, the genes. It's unambiguous. You see, even those of us in this room, if you were to check, our internal dictionaries are different. We have only the assumption of one-to-one mapping of meaning. I mean, if I ask you, where is the restroom, this is fairly ambiguous, unambiguous, because it deals with ordinary situations. But as soon as conversation leaves the main and well-trodden path of discourse, ambiguity enters in to a tremendous degree. We overlook this as a courtesy to each other. I mean, you almost never hear one person say to another, now would you explain to me what I just said? The reason you don't hear this said very often is because the thin illusion of communication would break down completely if we actually demanded of our listeners that they repeat back to us. The only situation in which that happens on a regular basis is the pedagogical mode, where the teacher teaches and then by test and recitation determines that the pupil has understood. But in polite discourse among adults, we consider this an imposition, if not an insult. So somehow these creatures are elves of language, catalysts for the concrescence of cognition. And I don't know if these things can be understood. After all, we're embedded in the world created by our own meanings.
Every time I kick a verse, every single word of it is timeless, ageless, evergreen, permanent. I don't mess with any newfangled slang, but I do make that old school language bang. YOLO was a flash in the pan. Swag, it's already trash in the can. But man, my flow is so hot when I pull that mic from the stand that it gets scorched black in my hand and turns to ashes like a match lit, burnt from the fire that Zach spit. Every word is a classic, more than I can say for cray, twerk, or ratchet. But look, I'm no hater who wants to diss. That is not what I wish to do with this. Give me your attention, hark to the plan. Hear and obey as I bark a command. You're coming with me through a wormhole, on a journey through time to reach the eternal. Word to your mother, here we go, back to 15,000 years ago. So this study came out with a list of words that are ultra conserved. Read down the page, these are words that have been retained in related form since the end of the last ice age. Their sounds and meanings have remained remarkably similar for 15,000 years. and all of them appeared in that verse that you heard and that you're going to hear again right here. Double time. YOLO with a flash in the band. Swag already fresh in the can, but man, my flow's so hot when I pull that mic from the stand that it gets scorched black in my hand and turns to ashes like a match lit. Burnt from the fire that Zach spit. Every word is a classic, more than I can say for Crave, Twerk, or Ratchet. But look, I'm no hater who wants to diss. That is not what I wish to do with this. Give me your attention, hark to the plan. Hear and obey as a mark to command. You're coming with me through a wormhole on a journey through time to reach the eternal word to your mother. Here we go back to 15,000 years ago. Oh. Vocab words that go back words in time. I got plenty, chum. Oh. Specifically, these 20-some stretching across many a millennium. Oh. No newfangled slang, but dang, I can sure make that old school language bang. And how great is it that old is one of the words that's incredibly old? It's perfect.
Moving on from that, modern life has become much more complex and very difficult. Should we consider going back to the Stone Age?
I'd say absolutely. We're missing our primal urges, which is to kill and to run naked and to have sex willy-nilly with whatever woman is in front of us.
I think we should just go back to a pre-language society. That way there would be no nagging and fighting and carping and disagreement. It would just... What more can we say?
Is that really a simpler time? A recent book suggested that we go back to the Proterozoic eon, which is 2.3 billion years ago, when we were only ooze. It would be a very comfortable state. We wouldn't have to worry about where we were oozing or where we were seeping.
A recent poll finds that a majority of Americans think life was simpler just 5 years ago. Should we try to return to the simpler life of 2002.
That's when the rise of women's pants just started to get a little bit lower. It was,
that was an exciting
time. A little
midriff.
The way I remember it, we got laid a lot in 2002.
Well, but we would black out before we could remember anything that happened and wake up in a ditch.
I think of that time, and I think of my cell phone. It was just a phone. It didn't have a camera. It didn't have an MP3 player.
No, it was just a phone.
If we're going to go back, I'd like to go back to 1994 when I was still happily married.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
To take a job in a criminal corporation that's poisoning the environment and robbing customers out of their money? This is the worthiest thing they can think of. Isn't there something nobler they could do to be helping this planet heal? You don't hear much about that from these middle-class women. I've noticed that most of these feminists are white middle-class women. They don't give a shit about black women's problems. They don't care about Latino women. All they're interested in is their own reproductive freedom and their pocketbooks. But when it comes to changing the language, I think they make some good points. Because we do think in language. And so the quality of our thoughts and ideas can only be as good as the quality of our language. So maybe some of this patriarchal shit ought to go away. I think spokesman ought to be spokesperson. I think chairman ought to be chairperson. I think mankind ought to be humankind. But they take it too far. They take themselves too seriously. They exaggerate. They want me to call that thing in the street a person hole cover. I think that's taking it a little bit too far. What would you call a ladies' man? A person's person? That would make a he-man an it person. Little kids would be afraid of the boogie person. They'd look up in the sky and see the person in the moon. Guys would say, come back here and fight like a person, and we'd all sing for It's a Jolly Good Person. That's the kind of thing you would hear on Late Night with David Letterperson. You know what I mean?
Now, go find the others.com.
Like, I'm listening to what you're saying, but I only hear what I want to.